whoa, I went to go write down all of the insights to this two-part conversation you're about to get a behind the scenes to. This is what was paid for a mastermind virtual event. And so you're getting it for free in generosity from the incredible host, Melissa, with the Post-it experience that she just offered out to her community. And so I highly recommend, after you listen to this, to know that there was a lot of other people who came to share their goods to her experience, to her community, to get invested. She really is an incredible, incredible interviewer. You're going to hear that here. She really just had a way of extracting information from me that I was like, holy cow, I never shared that before.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You'll hear me say this a bunch of times throughout the podcast because I literally have never shared it before. It was completely honest, or at least in the context of how it came out. And so here are some of the information points that you're going to want to have your pen handy for. I listened back to this, which I very, very rarely do, so that I could get these nuggets and get you enticed to listen. And I thought, oh, wow. Is this like bearing too much? And I realized like, no, the Holy Spirit was so evident in this conversation with some of the things that I've said, he said that I've never said before, that I'm like, oh, I need to write this down. So let's go into some of the details. I'm not going to give away everything, but some of the topics, some of the buzzwords, some of the conversations that I'm going to be able to pour into you are in regards to this. Blending faith and business effectively. We talk about this all the time here, but some new lenses that I haven't yet shared. The immersion strategies to complete your goals best. Different ways to develop a team, even with unpaid business growth. My startup season, kind of a lens to what that looked like, and my low ticket membership that I launched my business with, gosh, 6 years ago at this point. My first marketplace ministry preaching opportunity, breaking status quo for the Holy Spirit in content building. A loss of a partnership, which you've heard about before on the podcast, but I share in a really interesting way with what the Lord pressed onto my heart afterwards on peace building. I talk about the different battles that I faced head on, the tombstone moment, which you guys should be familiar with by now, and the power of our words. That's all in part one of this two-part experience that you're going to have here today. So part two goes into financial risk, loopholes in being an entrepreneur, and some insurance tips that our family have utilized, which I can't always recommend. This is for the risk takers only, but it saved us $100K. So you might want to know. And then we've got the lies of limiting beliefs. If you haven't heard that message from me, ouch, get ready to get your toes stepped on by the Holy Spirit. Not my message, it's all his. Then what is the secret to fast growth? How to have a killer wardrobe on a budget, and the secret to getting killer content. So it definitely takes you on this emotional journey, this high, low, deep, deep wisdom, and also lightheartedness. And I think that's a part of being a joyful entrepreneur, right? Is that you have the joy, the lightheartedness, childlike faith. You have the fullness of God in the expression of that faith. And entrepreneurship, well, we know that's always a roller coaster. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you get to see a little bit about what I do in my spare time when I'm not podcasting here. I am speaking on stages. I'm pouring into mastermind communities. I'm doing virtual summits. I'm on other people's, obviously, podcasts. And I just love being able to share the word in the way that God has uniquely equipped me to do so. And so if you're looking for someone to host something with you, to bring me in for one of your events or conferences, or to write the foreword, I write a lot of forewords to people's books, to write the foreword to your next book, to be a keynote at one of your experiences, whatever it looks like. I love to go on retreats and be a retreat integral piece to how you develop your soul, mind, will, and emotions on those things from a biblical lens. So these are some of the things I get to work on. I'm usually on about 6 podcasts a week. Between my own and others, we have so many things that drop, and about 1 to 2 times a month am I on actual in-person stages that are not curated by myself, and then I've got stages all the time. So if you're wondering, how in the world do you become a messenger, and where do you get these leads from, and how are you having these conversations, and how are you getting in front of other people, it's really just day by day. It's by networking, it's by relationship building, it's also by a lot of practice. So what I have in my hidden season that you don't see are being willing to be in small rooms, being willing to invest to get in person to be with those people so that that depth and that wellspring of life comes out and it's not just through a computer screen. All of that to be said, I am encouraging you to do the same thing. And if before you do it, listen to this podcast, because I'm telling you, part 1 and part 2 are going to blow your mind. They blew mine when I listened back. All right. Love you. Love you. Love you. Thanks for having this. And Melissa, again, thanks for hosting it. Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise, it's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement, where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement.
Okay, girls, welcome to Post It. And I'm here with Tamara. Oh, my word. You know what? I want to give you an intro, but you do so many things. I'm like, you introduce yourself.
Oh, no. That's like putting me on the spot. Because when I do that, I'm just like, you know, my name's Tamara. I'm your sister in Christ. I'm hanging out with you. You know, we're doing the thing. We're living life together. But yeah, there's some fun titles that I have had to shed in past seasons that now are still a part of my bio because it's important for you to have context. So I'm a 6-time best-selling author. I have my own publishing house called Fit and Faith Press. Yeah. I am a 3-time podcaster and hitting some charts in spirituality and business because of my passions and where God has led me in the marketplace. My favorite is the Messenger Movement podcast. Actually, I can't say my favorite because Girls Gone Holy and the Founder Collective, they're all rad for different reasons. And I'm really on a trajectory point to just invite more people into this party, this colorful life that we get to live every single day, and to do that within the marketplace. And so everyone has a message because everybody has a testimony, and it's just a matter of how you're going to use it and tools that I can provide in the process of making those come to life.
Yeah, you're about to host a retreat, right, for people who are going to publish a book with you.
Yeah. So we do book writing retreats, we do publishing retreats, and we also do speaker retreats. Retreats are fun. They're a great way to teach people. I think everyone's like, oh, I want to do that thing, but then they don't take action on the thing. So that's how I have to take action, is to say, these 3 days are for me for this particular thing, whether I'm developing an e-course, I'm building out content, I'm launching a new podcast. And so I just took what worked well for me and brought it to the market, and other people really love it.
I love immersion is key.
Yeah.
And we know that for other things, but as entrepreneurs, we're like, no, it's cool. I got this. I'm gonna figure out a way to do this. But oh my goodness, go to the retreat. If any of those things like are sparking your interest, I don't even know what if you have spots left or anything. But just girls, go check out Tamara. She's You must have a good team. You must have a good team around you because you're constantly putting out things that are just like, feels like gonna like move some ground.
Yeah, that's, I couldn't do without them. And I've always been in that beautiful place of blessing, even from the very get-go. And people think, you know, teams, oh my gosh, I don't have the money to have that. I'm just starting out. But I had people on my team for 2.5 years that I never paid a dollar to. Now, I paid in lots of different other ways, but yeah. I just encourage people to think of team building outside of the traditional, like, I have to hire them full-time. That's not necessarily how it has to work.
That's so good. Already that key for someone listening to this, like, because we have so many points where we come to the end of ourselves, and there's just like that end of ourselves is sooner for some things than other things, right? It could be admin. For a lot of creatives, it's admin.
Amen.
Where some strategy people, it's like, I don't know how to bring the heart out. There's other things. And it's like, yeah, just even praying right now, you can pause this, whatever. Just be like, God, would you highlight people that can be on my team that doesn't look like team in the traditional sense? And yeah. I love what you're saying, because so much of what we get to do as we create marketing campaigns, as we put offers out there, does not have to be in the traditional sense. Talk about, you could probably go in so many different directions, but just like talk about the entrepreneurial journey that has not been traditional for you?
That's such a great question, because I was for a decade doing everything what would perceivingly be by the books, because I thought you had to do it certain ways. And when Jesus got a hold of me, I had a supernatural encounter when I was 29 years old. I had a two for-profit businesses, one that was a global business, a nursing bra line, that was a 9-figure contract, and the other was a local brick and mortar store. And I also had 2 kids under the age of 2 and clearly couldn't do it all well. And I surely wasn't doing it in integrity, especially connected to my marriage. And so that supernatural encounter led me into the trajectory pattern of becoming an ordained minister and seeking God on my face really, really hard. And when I did that, it broke the yoke of an American dream. It broke the yoke of me having to live under the expectations or the people pleasing or the methodologies of traditional business. And I wanted to invite other people to do the exact same thing alongside me. So fast forward from that encounter to 3 years later, after being in that secret place for a long time and realizing I really love business, and God uses all things that you walk through and all things that you have knowledge and faith for to interweave into his kingdom expansion. So the very first way that I catalyzed was I sent this incognito, meaning like very scripted, unscripted text to 30 women who lived here locally in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I'm from. And I invited them, it was right before Christmas, I invited them right after the New Year's to basically go on this like journey with me. They had no idea what this journey was going to be. They had no context for it, whatever. But I was basically giving them a concept and a compliment in that moment of seeing their leadership skills, seeing the fact that they shine in a unique way and wanting to help bring that shine to fruition in a whole new way. So I ended up, everyone showed up, which is, you know, a great conversion rate. God is good. I had no anticipation, right? And they showed up into a place that I had only prepared that like 30% were going to show up to. And so it was a table for 10 that 30 women ended up standing around, sitting on the floor, all of this. And it was the very first time, Melissa, that I ever opened the Bible in front of some friends who were not friends and friends who I had been walking alongside in my faith journey the last couple years with. But it was the first time I ever opened a Bible and felt like, wow, I'm preaching for the first time. And in hindsight, in a moment, I didn't know that I was doing that. It was nothing. I just was like, God, it led me. I need to read the Proverbs 31 woman to start this conversation. And it was so rad. And what has happened since then in the last 6 years has been transformational. But at that point, I started a membership and it was $37 a month. And now my, you know, buy-in, I still have a $37 a month buy-in opportunity for people that still is conclusive of a membership, but now people are paying me upwards of $1,000 an hour. And so it's just really rad to say yes to the Lord and do so with a different lens than what maybe your favorite business coach is telling you or the sparkly, flashy lead magnet is telling you on social media.
That's so good. We need to be reminded. But I love that you didn't even get the confirmation of who was all coming. You just assume, I mean, I love, I love, I love, I love. The Lord works, just filled in the gaps, just filled in the gaps. Cause it's like, well, why wouldn't you have figured out how many women are coming so that you can prepare, you can prepare the table for the right
idea.
Now?
Nope.
Didn't matter.
That's didn't even matter. It really didn't. If one person showed up, I knew I was doing what God told me to do in that moment. And I think it's so cool too to recognize and process that abundance, right? People talk about prosperity, and I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I am a preacher of truth. And the truth says that he will provide you exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you could ask, hope, or imagine. But connected to that is action. And so I was like, here you go, Lord, I'll give you my small seed. I'll give you my small yes, and you show me what to do on the other end. Now, this was pre-COVID, but in the time frame of COVID, I was able to bring that cohort of women. We were able to bring in over $250,000 in revenue simply by brand new. These were brand new. They had no idea they were going to be an entrepreneur people that were now catalyzing and bringing in finances for their homes.
Wow. Talk about like, we all want to get under Tamara's anointing. That's amazing.
That's and y'all amazing. Can. Y'all can. It's right here, up top.
So good. Okay, so for the girls, you're talking about that action piece. So a lot of women that are listening, they have the action piece. They're like, I know how to do the strategy. I know how to build a brand. But like you, either they've built a brand without the Lord before and maybe lost it, or they've built the brand and now they're like, I want God to be the center of it, and I pray about it, and I try to do things according to his word and da-da-da-da-da. But when it comes to content, message, the words that are actually flowing out, it's really easy to kind of like stick to the script. You're like, we have these formulas, we know persuasion, we know how to do this. Talk about taking that action to just like lean into Holy Spirit-led content.
Oh, that's so powerful and such a great question, because I get it. I understand like going to the world's teachers who seem to have it all, right? Like they've got the multi-million dollar businesses, they've got the highest ranked podcast, they've got all of the community members and masterminds that you would want, and they're teaching good stuff. They've had New York Times bestsellers, and so you're reading their books too, and you're listening to all of the things that they put out there. But if we aren't paralleling that to truth, then we are going to fall flat, because that is the hustle mentality. And while they might perceivingly have it all, how's their marriage? How's their heart? How's their eternity? Right? For that matter. And when I come back into this example, my husband uses often, he's like, if we were at a table, doesn't matter if it's a table of couples, women, men, doesn't matter. And we were all to write down like our current testimony, like where are we in our life? What do we have currently? What are we struggling with? And we were to send it into the center of this table. And then we did like a white elephant exchange. And I took Melissa's box back home. And this is now my new life. Okay. Imagine this. You don't have a choice. This is what you've decided. This is what's happening. And I open this up and I'm like, oh, this, she went through that. I got to tell people that I did that, that this happened to me. Like I don't want this bank account. I don't want this marriage. I don't want these kids, right? Like you literally don't want what other people have walked through. And yet when it comes to business, there's this facade that we want what they have, but that's the grass is greener concept. And it's never greener on the other side. You are uniquely and wonderfully made with the gifts and talents that you've been created for. And you need to show up serving that thing. And it's going to look totally different as a business plan would to anybody else, which is really my MO. It's like bringing people in and saying, okay, what has God told you? What is it that you want to build? And let's create that together, but you're not here to copycat me. And so when people are giving out copycat information, do this, it's going to work for you. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's just going to distract you, destroy you, taunt you, get you overwhelmed. When God's already told you, and it might sound really simple, like sending a text to 30 people you do and maybe not know fully.
That's so good. Okay, what are you more convicted? Because you started this journey like 6 years ago, you're saying, and you've built and built, and you've watched God answer prayers, and you've seen him drop new expectations for you. What are you more convicted of than ever before? About, we're speaking predominantly to women here. I know you, I think you work with men and women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But specifically about women's voices, what are you more convicted of than ever?
Let the Holy Spirit guide your tongue. I think it, going back to the question right before that, that's so connected to this, is it takes a level of obedience and discipline to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your business building rather than you doing it yourself. And that's where that fracture can happen. And it can happen so easily, y'all. It happens to me regularly. And I have to constantly come back into repentance and be like, man, I thought that was your idea. I swear you gave me the peace for that thing. And he's like, he literally told me last year after a partnership situation, Melissa, that didn't turn out the way that I hoped. I wailed before the Lord. I grieved this partnership loss because I really was like, God, you line this up. This was your orchestration. It took me 2 months to finally hear from him. And he said in the most tender voice, so sweet in my quiet time, he said, you falsified my peace. And I thought, oh gosh, what does that mean? And I sat with him like, what do you mean, God? And he's like, you essentially made up my peace so that you could take this as your portion. And it wrecked me. I was a crying baby, repenting before the Lord and realizing, wow, we in our free will and the construct of our tiny mind can literally position faith at the background, and we can curate this falsified element of worthiness, of prosperity, of abundance, no different than how a lot of people are doing it, when in the secret place, God is like, yeah, you got all of that and it looks really good and your business is growing, but your peace is not. And what's more important?
We just needed a moment.
It was hard.
Yes.
It was really hard.
That hits.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. That's good. I wanna ask you about, here's one thing I love about you. I was listening to the beginning of your book this morning, and you were talking about as a young girl, and you were, you know, very disciplined when it came to health and fitness and all of that. And then you kind of have this disruption where you go back and like, what is this all about? And I love that parallel goes through so much of your story. You do such a good, I mean, you're laughing because you're like, oh, I know, I have to live it over and over again. But like, you do such a good job of framing it. Like, so I'm like, you really are the embodiment of what you talk about. Cause I can be like, oh, she talks about that concept over here in business, childhood. Da, 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 da. But you come to this place where you're like, I had to like become a daughter again. I had to kind of start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And so as we're building, like how powerful is it to just be a daughter?
It is the primary reason I wake up every day. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that from a place of woundedness as a daughter in the flesh who has a father who is currently still walking through his personal struggles of alcoholism, a mom that was literally like had so much trauma growing up. And that's a generational cycle that I've had to break. And to recognize at the end of the day that mom or dad, anybody who's faulted you, leader, mentor, grandma, whoever was even adopted you, that our Father in heaven cares for us and loves us way more than their ever earthly heart can say. And I say that as a mom who constantly reminds my mom friends, God loves your kid more than you, which seems astronomically impossible, but it is. And so the moments you're frustrated, God's not frustrated. He's wooing them into himself. And so being a daughter is the classifying identity that I want of all things at the end of my days. And that was a massive part of my testimony, was I had this, what I refer to as a tombstone moment. And I think it's a really powerful exercise for people to do in the quietness of their soul, is if you were to die today, what would authentically be etched onto your tombstone? And when I had that encounter, which happened just a couple of days before this vision happened, a couple of days before my encounter with the Lord, was my tombstone said entrepreneur. I told you like what all I was doing in my life and wasn't doing. And no one, even people like Steve Jobs who established Apple, they don't have that on their tombstone. And the thing that I wanted from being a little girl, being a daughter, was I want to be a good wife and I want to be a good mom. And and I was raised around Christianity in a pseudo-Christian household. I wanted to be a child of God. I wanted those to be things that identified me. But on that particular doomsday, that was not the case. Yeah. And so I constantly go back to this place of, I am going to dwell as a daughter of the King for eternity. I don't want to be buried. That's a whole nother conversation, but my tombstone will say, my identifying factor will say. And so does this partnership fail really matter? Does this friendship, you know, pain really matter? Does this not achieving that accolade or that goal really matter? And at the end of the days, all of us should be saying no, because my security is in eternity, which is curated by my Father.
Wow, that was poetic at the end there.
I love this. Love words.
Yes, you do love words. Okay, last question for this first part of the interview. I have like 7 questions. But you just talked about words, so I'm going to go with that. I'm like, tell us the power of words. You help people get their books out of themselves. You help them get it out into the world. You help them get their message through speaking out. This, I think we forget what a gift these platforms are to us. I can kind of see it as this necessary. In order to grow my brand, I've got to do these things and da 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 da. Talk to me about the power of the word on a platform.
Yeah, it is everything. And again, we know that we have the power to speak life or death with our tongue. And there's no different than that when you're writing a book or you're securing a podcast or you're doing a summit, right? It's the knowledge that these words will linger. And you might never meet the person that they're lingering with or the generation in which they're going to impact. But I went so often with focusing on myself rather than serving. And that is a posture of your heart that affects your tongue. It affects the way that you write. So the true business, the world would tell you that you should write a book that then converts people as leads. God did not tell me that. I wish he did. I wish I had a business book that I could hand people that says, hey, come be a part of my things. I do now as a 7-time author, like, and I have like 6 more in queue, but the book God told me to write first was my messy, shame-filled testimony. And now that book is like the thing everyone is like using as my platform build. And I'm like, really, God, I don't want to talk about that story. I want that to be in my past. But the power of the word is that even when I move on from those words and I'm writing new words, which you all should and you'll evolve, is that those words will stand the test of time if you've gifted them, if you've consecrated them to the Lord, no different than the living word who has standed it. Stands the test of time. We're reading a book that has been the best-selling book for decades, eons, centennials, like forever, since books were ever made, yeah. Right? And I want that to be a part of your story. I want you to go to bed at night and know in peace that you have said the thing or written the thing or secured the thing out into the world that God would come back to you and say, as a daughter, well done, my good and faithful servant. And when we're gossiping, if we're complaining, if we're even speaking out of our own ideas rather than God's ideas, those things are going to fall flat and they're ultimately going to discourage other people around you. And discouraging anyone makes them stay complacent in the life that they're currently living rather than being able to encourage someone, no different than the prayer that you did before we even got on here. You encouraged me as a gift before my mouth starts to speak. And so encouragement is from the Father and therefore the Spirit was dwelling. So if you're making content, you're making a post, I promise you it will have more traction than anything the algorithm could do for you if you're trying to be buzzworthy, noteworthy, or follow a script. Follow the Holy Spirit and he will transcend any ideas that you have.
Yeah, that's for the thought leaders. That is for the thought leaders. It's not about trying to be, like you said, noteworthy, buzzworthy. It's like, this is just who I am and how I'm being a vessel. I love that so much. Okay.
It's sacred, right? If we think of our words as sacred, as he thought of his words as sacred, Jesus didn't actually talk a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we process that and we become really good listeners, we become amazing communicators. We can breathe life onto an entire generation that needs it above, beyond, behind, right? Current. That's what I love so much about words.
Oh, that's so good. How are you not just talking on social media, but communicating? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's something for us to sit with as we transition to our backstage interview, where I'm going to ask more about nine-figure contracts and, like, do you ever feel like you're behind after that, and how you get all
Great
this
question.
Amazing B-roll without feeling like it's taking over your life. So we'll be back for that.
Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you may even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out, and thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.